Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Well, hello there. I'm Liesl Tom, and of course, this is Beyond Ears and Eyes. And with me in studio, as always, is the lovely Shemaine Harris. Hey, Shemaine.
Hey, and as always, I love being called lovely. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And also in studio with us is Sibongile. Sibongile Sithole. But she's going to drop us in a few moments. She's ditching us.
We heard.
Yes. But we're getting an equally competent person, and it's Nilesh Chandradev. So we don't know, you know how we sometimes talk to our sound people and they go like, okay, I have to be part of this conversation. So maybe Nilesh will have to be part of that.
Yeah, Nilesh, well, I have to warn you that sometimes we do get our producers involved in the show. So brace yourself, darling. Shemaine, so what are we talking about today?
Well, firstly, we have the very distinguished...
I thought you were going to use the word lovely.
We can do lovely. Okay. We can do lovely, which is also true.
Thank you.
Michael Gunker in studio with us. He is a... well, he's an MD of a company that does really well. So it's, you know, kind of like I'm trying to let people know that we're actually very normal in this studio and on this program. So Michael is one of those people that you find in a suit, but...
Work during the day, yes, and work at night.
But a very spiritual man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And when you say distinguished, Shemaine, Michael, I was looking at your CV and it is... what do they say? As long as one's arm?
Are you talking about my work CV or my
extramural CV? Shemaine, yes, why don't you read some of that stuff on there?
Okay, some of what he does. Okay, yeah. And then you can go on. So, sorry, Michael, we're talking about you as if you're not here.
I'm here.
But
I'm here, I promise you.
So you do graphology?
Yes. And does everyone know what graphology is?
You know, no.
Okay, it's the analyzing of handwriting.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back and maybe talk a little bit about that. And then you also do advanced numerology.
I do, yes. It all adds up to numbers.
He's funny, isn't he, Liesl?
And I believe that the universe is made up of numbers as well, too.
Okay. And then you've got resonance repatterning that you do.
Correct.
Face reading.
Face reading. And you had Marty on last week, I think.
Well, it's a little later, longer.
a little bit more than a week ago. But yes, we had Marty on, yes.
Yeah, we'll be okay with you. Just go with last week is good.
Yeah, last week is good.
Body talk. You also do body talk. What is body talk?
It's a balancing of balancing the organs to the mind-body system.
All right.
It's a form of communication with the body using a form of biofeedback.
And then you'll do... you clear auric fields.
I do auric cleansing, yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there just now. Then you also do, you've studied essential oils, color therapy, and platonic solids, and you've also studied the tuning forks. What are the tuning forks?
Oh, the tuning forks are different vibrations. So you can get a tuning fork for a different chakra, for a meridian. You can get one for every organ of the body. You can get one for the planetary frequency. You've got to realize that everything is energy, and energy is everything. And if it's energy, it vibrates, and if it vibrates, it's got a frequency. So okay. you identify with a certain frequency.
All right. And you use that in your healing sessions?
I don't do the healing. I do the facilitating of the process. The healing comes from the universe and the divine.
Well said. I'm so put in my place right now. But then you also, the other thing, the platonic solids, what is that?
The platonic solids is a form of a modality. It was five basic models which were discovered by Plato, and they take five geometric forms. So you've got the cube, you've got the tetrahedron, the dodecahedron, the icosahedron. And what they found in terms of DNA and in certain molecules within the body, when those parts are coherent, they take a geometric shape, which is very interesting. And I'm doing some reading at the moment, and they're finding that the actual universe in terms of its circuits of its planets and the galaxies are also taking on geometric shapes, which is very interesting.
And then the last one you've got on here, which is not all you do, but I'm going to go with this one, you also do sound therapy.
I also do sound therapy. Yes, I use various types of sound because it's also a frequency.
Right. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, we'll have to get you back because there's absolutely no way that we can discuss all of those. What did you call them? Modalities.
One thing is a process, but the modality is what you would use to change the frequency of something. But one thing we must talk about one day, which I think is very exciting for the future, is the pineal gland. We must remember that for the future.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. But before we go further, you can get in touch with us at cliffcentral.com. That's our Twitter handle, or WeChat Cliff Central. Do send us a message if you have any questions to ask. So can we go a little further, Liesl? Are you ready?
I'm ready. So the reason we have Michael here today is to talk. Excuse me, sir. We're going to be talking about clearing negative energy and then repatterning beliefs.
Okay, but those are two different things, okay?
Absolutely. So why don't we start with the energy clearing?
Okay, let's start with the energy clearing.
Okay.
Most people are just aware that they have a human body. And presumably, and hopefully, you all wash your bodies on a daily basis.
Well
okay, some of you. But you've got to realize that you have other energetic bodies as well, too. And where this is evident, when you hear of someone's passing and they appear on the other side of a continent and you see them in their shape and their form, that is their astral body. Mm-hmm. So you've got other astral bodies leading right up to your soul. So if you've got any emotional body, a causal body, etc. Now,
no, don't say etc. Because I'm sitting at home and I'm going, emotional body, cordial body, etc. What are the other bodies?
Well, there are different names.
Okay.
But they all line up to the same thing.
All
but
right.
They take the shape of the body and they hold different frequencies. Mm-hmm. Like your emotional body will hold all your emotions. Your mental body will hold all your thoughts. Your etheric body would hold all the energy that will feed the energy into the meridians and the chakras into that. Now, one tends to wash or cleanse your physical body, but not too many people do too much about their other bodies. And that does get affected by your day-to-day action or when you're sleeping at night or when you're astral traveling.
Mm-hmm. So can you address all those bodies separately? The ones that you just mentioned, you know, the spiritual, the emotional, the physical.
What do you mean by addressing? By just saying what they are?
Can you speak to them differently?
You've got to address them separately because I believe that there are different frequencies. And there's a term that the scientists are using now which is called quantized, where it's all squashed together, but they hold the same pattern within different layers.
Hmm.
So, yes. So, sometimes if I'm dealing with someone and someone's been emotionally upset about something, say their aura lifts off, then I have to replace their aura, right? And there's been some damage to their emotional body because they're upset about that, and their emotional body could be ruptured.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would send healing light into that in order to seal and repair the rupture on that emotional body. So it's addressing two different bodies. It's coming back to this thing about knowing yourself. And, you know, I find to say, so interesting, because if you take a look at all the oracles around the world, in Egypt, in Greece, in Rome, and what, everything, there's all these oracles are saying this thing, know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more you know yourself, the more you're able to deal with it and actually heal it as such. But it does go a bit further in terms of that, knowing thyself. It's actually know thyself, be thyself, and love thyself.
Be, know, and love.
Absolutely.
Thyself. Okay. Because you do this all the time. I mean,
no, I don't to work during the day.
stop that. You see, I'm getting a little flustered. Michael, do not do that. I'm at work.
I just did it.
Yeah. But you do this all the time with your partner, Jenny von Ettinghausen. Is that how I say her surname?
Yes, absolutely.
So you and Jenny do this all the time where you clean auras and you clean spaces, and you do that remotely as well.
You do that remotely, yes.
So normal people will go, oh my, no, that is just, you know, keep away from
me. And normal people will say, yes, please.
because it's like what you do is entities and energy. That you take from people and their spaces.
This is where it's starting to get very weird. What are these energies that you guys talk about?
All right, no, it just depends on each person. Mm-hmm. Each person is so unique.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what you do have something which is called entities, like on the astral plane. And these are balls of consciousness which are attracted to certain things. Mainly they can be attracted to addictions or certain things, but mainly they feed on negative emotions.
Okay.
Like, say you're very angry with someone, and you will then attract these entities to you, and then what you'll find, you'll see that your actions are normally different. You'll say things you don't normally say, or you'll do things that you don't normally do, and you would say, "Hi, was that me?" at the end of the day.
Okay, does that then explain why some people have the excuse of, you know, I didn't mean it?
Uh-huh.
The devil made me do it.
Or the devil made me do it.
Because
one can go further
real.
Than an entity. You can get demons, you can get astral demons, and there are vampires and things like this, and they promise you that they do exist. It's just that we are very limited, and that's why I'm very intrigued by your logo, Beyond the Eyes and Ears, mm-hmm. because we are limited by our senses on this dimension. Yes, some of us are aware, we've got subtle senses of sight, of hearing and whatever, but if you go beyond the senses, there's so much more to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many radio and TV stations available right now, but unless you tuned into that, will you only be able to see it. But people are now only limited by what they can see,
mm-hmm.
and hence them not being aware of that. Okay. But when they see the changes by having these things removed from them, they can actually feel a difference, especially if they are conscious of the energies.
Mm-hmm. You touched on behavioral patterns when entities or energies are attached, negative energies are attached.
Okay.
What else is there? And where do you find it? Which are the places where you go, like, okay, when you go to those places, watch out for, or what should your state of mind be to attract these kinds of energies?
Well, firstly, it depends what you're resonating with, but there can be certain places you find that a lot of them are around bars or casinos or places like that, or drug places where they are attracted to these things.
Wow. So don't you, Lisa, look at me like that. I did not say that. So you must stop going to the casino.
He's always split on a 7 and double up. Okay.
Okay, that was a joke. Liesl does not go to casinos. That is not the truth.
Liesl does not have a gambling problem.
Liesl
doesn't have a gambling problem. She's not addicted to anything.
Tell me, Michael, you said that addiction, you mentioned something about addiction and these energies.
Yes. What I've found over the years, on the 20 years in terms of working with energies, where people are addicted to certain things, they tend to attract these negative energies. And it's not just entities, it can be a form of a negative energy as well too. And that can negatively affect them until it's actually removed.
And where do these entities and or energies come from?
From the astral plane and above.
Aren't they something that someone said and they...
No, that could be a form of a psychic attack. If you say to me, I hate your suit and you're horrible, that's a psychic attack. That's not an entity as such. But, I mean, if you're furious with me and whatever, and you toss and turn in your bed at night and you send all these horrible thoughts as well, you will attract entities which will go along to those thoughts and it will attack that person's auric field.
And what harm can it do?
It can change the way you feel, it can change the way you think, and it could even change the actual action of your life.
So who do you decide who you could clear? Can you clear anyone?
Please remember, we live on a free will planet,
mm-hmm.
and it's people that actually want to be cleared. It's people that are conscious that they need a clearing and they want to be cleared. I don't clear anyone without getting their permission. But I go one level higher. If you are aware that you have a soul, a higher soul self, I check that I've got permission to clear you. Mm-hmm. Because you might be on the edge, but you might not be ready for a clearing.
So you're saying
you might have to complete a cycle or something or whatever. Once I get permission to clear with you, I then connect with your higher soul self. And I see what needs to be cleared or what you're ready to have cleared.
Mm-hmm. So you give permission, or the person gives permission to be cleared?
Yes, the person gives permission to clear.
You then say, all right, and you check?
I check if it's okay to clear them, yes.
Okay, so it's a consensual thing?
It's always consensual.
When you clear, I want to know, because I have one of your clients, they were good enough to say, okay, you could use a little bit of what's been done to me. So I want to know how, you know, the process works when you decide, okay, today is the day that I'm going to clear XYZ.
Okay,
what happens?
So you want to know what I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I first get up, I put on my gown.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, no, don't go there. Do not go there, Michael. Do not
skip the mundane parts.
You know, because otherwise you go like, it can be quite daunting if you don't know, you know, if you don't
okay,
know.
What I do is firstly I check that it's safe to connect with the person because there could be something waiting to attack you or to distract you or give you misinformation. So I first clear that away. I then connect with the person. I connect with the person's higher soul self. I connect with their spiritual guides, mm-hmm. right? And I then connect with the archangels, the lords of karma, and obviously the divine. Once I've then connected with them, I make sure that there's no karmic imprints, that there's no karmic blocks, so that I can move forward. And I then go through various processes to just make sure that they are prepared for that. Mm-hmm. Once I get to that stage, I then take a look at what is the primary cause. So the person might give me a problem and they say, well, I'm feeling a bit flat or whatever. So then I take that as the primary cause and I try and identify for them what is the primary cause as to why they're feeling flat. And then I might take a look at it and see, oh, all right, the person's feeling a bit flat and I sense that their mental body has collapsed because they're overworked. Right, and then I identify that, and then I can see if there's anything else that has happened to the mental body, and I make a list of that. Is once I've got that, I will then use a certain modality. I normally use tuning forks, and I will send out a frequency in order to do the necessary healing and to change those things.
Hmm. Do you ever?
I wanted to know before you started answering Charmaine's question. I was wondering if such a clearance won't interfere with your karma, and then you mentioned these lords of karma.
No.
Who are they?
Is absolutely is you check with the lords of karma. It's almost like a hierarchy, right, where you have people looking after things, and whether you can do something or you can't do something. Like if you had done something bad in a lifetime, and you came to me, and I was the lord of karma, and you wanted to get something cleared, to say, she's first got to finish and balance out what she's done before she can move forward on that. And I don't want to interfere with the lords of karma, boy, because they could make me wear a dirty T-shirt as opposed to the suit.
And it is a very nice suit.
Thank you. It's a lovely suit.
Even though he has to say it himself. So this person, I'm just going for the ones that's kind of dramatic. On here, you said you found six entities. Which you cleared of the person.
Right.
What does that mean? And you know, where could they have possibly gotten that? We have touched on that, but just what does it mean? Because, I mean, it's
okay,
kind of
scary.
Okay,
what it means, that there was obviously something that happened from their life. Maybe they were stressed, they were sad, they were angry. That attracts the entities which feed off the negative energy. Mm-hmm. And there are psychics and people in India that can actually see these entities and these demons and whatever. So it's actually quite interesting. So once I found the entity, I've got to see what else is involved with the entity. Are there tentacles and suctions? Has the entity put something into a person's chakra or whatever?
Me.
Right? And then I've got to see how have they actually done that? Have they gone into a certain part of the body or whatever, then I remove that and I heal that part of the body and then I get rid of the entities.
Are we supposed to get scared right now?
No, in about 3 minutes' time.
Okay, will you sound a gong or something? Because I'm already scared. This sounds like the hell and brimstone that they were, you know.
That's why we're talking about this, so that it's not so scary.
And that's why you have to raise consciousness, because people have to be aware that they are out there. I've had lots of bad experiences with entities and demons. I've been totally conscious sort of 2 o'clock in the morning working on a demon, and I was picked up and actually thrown against a wall.
Mm.
And I've actually worked with people in a session when there was a demon that actually came up, and this person's face just totally distorted as such. And there's an interesting book by a guy called Dr. Scott Peck, is called People of the Lie, where he did years of work with people with demons, and he saw how these things actually manifested out of the person. So do they exist? Yes, they do.
Who do you get to help?
What, for myself or for the other people?
No, because aren't you supposed to be like more than one person? I mean, I know Jenny helps, but is there someone else?
I don't have a split personality. If that's what
no, is there someone else who comes in and helps you and assists?
Oh, okay.
Like Jenny maybe someone else, you know.
Yeah, I've got my spiritual guides, my spiritual masters, the archangels and the angels of healing. So there are other beings that actually help.
How do you prepare yourself so that you don't get,
injured? I clear myself first in the morning. I first clear myself, and then if I've got a problem clearing myself, then I've got a dear friend that helps to clear me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to be coherent enough in order to deal with this.
All right. You talked about in this person session, there was a tentacle. Read it. It says there was one tentacle from someone attached, which you had to cut and remove and destroy. And then, yeah, so what is that?
Have you ever been with someone and that they're kind of all over you and whatever, and once you leave their company, you almost feel that they're lingering around?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tentacle.
Right.
They kind of attach onto you.
So this person, if you hadn't seen this person like in 20 years, it could still be there.
It's still there. It stays there.
But
time and space is all the same continuum.
Can something like that be positive at all? I mean, I have very good friends that after I leave them, I still feel that high we created for.
Well, that's fine. So you can have a high. But then do you have friends where you feel bad or you have a low?
No, because I choose my friends wisely.
Oh, you choose your friends wisely.
In this report, you also mention soul sickness. What's that?
Well, a soul sickness, well, basically, you've got your various levels which take you from your physical body up all the different frequencies right up into your soul. So if there is something that is affecting you on your soul, it could be a past life thing, or it could be an issue that is affecting you right now, which then comes down and affects you on the physical body.
Hmm.
So what is deemed as a problem, yeah, where a person might say, I'm feeling heavy, yeah, is actually a soul sickness up there. It just manifests as a sickness there. So as opposed to dealing this problem, I send the frequency to that person's soul.
You mentioned earlier that you can pick up these entities while astral traveling at night.
Yes, astral traveling.
I don't particularly like the idea of going gallivanting I'm asleep.
Okay, so Have you ever woken up in the morning and you've woken up with a jerk? Now, I'm not talking about your boyfriend, okay?
Husband.
So, have you ever woken up...
No, she's not a jerk, sorry. It took me a while.
So, have you ever woken up and you felt that your body moves like
that? Yes.
That is you coming back into your body. So, you've gone out of your body and you've gone onto the astral plane, and then you wake up and you're back into your body.
I feel that the most times that
coming
jerk,
back in.
That yeah. coming in...
You're coming back in through your crown chakra.
I mostly feel that just after falling asleep.
Oh, yes. That's
and
right.
then you wake up.
Yes. Well, that's falling asleep, that's you moving out of consciousness and you're going out into the other planes. And if there is something that wakes you up, like an alarm clock or something, you'll jerk back into your body.
And what's the point?
Of what?
Of astral traveling.
What's the point of astral traveling is in order for you to go out of your body so that your body can do the healing and then you can do whatever you need to do on the astral level.
Like what?
Or other levels. You can process your day. You can meet with other people that you're not conscious of.
Can we have a party at night, Shemaine?
Oh, we have parties at night. You just don't remember. But we're like, listen, Lisa, let's just go there quickly. Do you remember that thing that we left there that day? Oh, we need to go and pick that up because you know what? It's causing havoc. No, we have parties as we go about our event. Do you still have any more to ask about the entities and stuff?
No.
All right. Because we're going to move a little further now. You are on Cliff Central and our Twitter handle is at Cliff Central and our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And this is Beyond Ears and Eyes with me, Shemaine Harris, and Liesl Tom.
So what we're going to look at next is, you want to
Oh.
The lovely Michael.
Oh, yes.
No, the distinguished Michael.
Yes.
Are you a Leo by any chance?
Do I look like a Leo?
Yes.
And what does it mean to you? Because I can be anything you want me to be.
No. You see, are you a Leo?
No.
Not?
So what are you?
You can't actually be a Leo. You can be born under the star sign of a Leo. And you can take on the characteristics which is positive.
Were well, you born under the sign of Leo?
Yes.
Yes.
But no.
No.
My star sign is Aquarius.
Okay. All right. Okay. 30 years in the future.
All right. And also, yes, we have the lovely, distinguished Michael Gunko in studio with us. And we're gonna go further. We're gonna go now to what you also did on this person, because, and the reason why we're doing this is so that we can see, you know, the correlation between the clearing of the person and then the healing of the person. And what you do is resonance repatterning. Right. So what is that? We can come to the rest later, but please just tell us what that is.
Can I just repeat that I don't do the healing. Mm-hmm. I do the facilitating. The healing is done by the divine, by the universe, and whatever needs to be done.
Absolutely.
On those levels.
Absolutely.
So let's take a look at the clearing in terms of clearing or washing your body on the outside. Mm-hmm. And the things that affect you on the outside, if you get affected, some people might not be affected by things on the outside. Is say you've got an angry boss and whatever, and you resonate with anger, and say Lisa might resonate with that, and she picks up the anger. Mm-hmm. You don't resonate with the anger, so you don't pick up with the anger. So I clear the anger off her on the outside. But then you have your own internal stuff, the stuff that you brought through, if you believe in past lifetimes, and all the accumulation of the database of all your experiences, all your thoughts, your words, and every traumatic experience that you've had is then becomes your database in terms of what you've been operating from. And all the stuff you've taken in since a child, because since you're a child, you were taking information, because your brainwave is at a much lower brainwave, and everything that your parents and your friends modeled, that comes into your mind-body system, mm-hmm. and that forms a database for you moving forward.
So in your cell, in your
energies,
and over
everything.
Lifetimes,
over a period of lifetime, yes, until you clear it out.
I just want to ask, because you said past lives, if you believe in it. If you don't believe in it, you don't bring all that baggage with you.
No, it's there. You bring the baggage with it. You just don't believe in it. But at the same time, you've got to respect another person's reality, because what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. So you just respect that person's reality. But if we take a look at the resonance repatterning, we will then identify what a person is resonating with or what they're not resonating with, and find a pattern of beliefs and experiences and change that. And that relates to the internal stuff of the person, whereby the clearing relates to the external stuff of the person.
Mm-hmm. So once the clearing is done, the internal stuff can take faster and better.
It can take faster. You don't have to be cleared on the outside, because not everyone can clear people on the outside. But if you've got all these other things blocking you, it's sometimes difficult, or the energy gets diluted in terms of what's going in.
Mm-hmm. So if something is at a cellular level, you know, over lifetimes, can it also be from genetics? Can that also be passed on?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So it could be genetic, it could be from previous lifetimes, and it could be present.
It could be present. But remember, you mustn't take a look at this continuum where it's like a linear line and you've got past, present, future. Mm-hmm. You've got to turn the continuum around and say mm-hmm. past, present, future, all in one continuum. And it's happening right now. That's why some people can regress and they can go back into a past lifetime. I've had the ability to move forward in my lifetime and see things happening as well while it's in present time. So it's in a linear form mm-hmm. this way and not the old pattern.
Then how do you approach the healing, the resonance repatterning we're talking about?
How do I approach the resonance repatterning? So what we would do, we would identify a problem is with the person, and we'll use a form of resonance muscle checking.
When you say we identify the problem with the person, who
are
we talking about?
Well, I would be in a session with someone, mm-hmm. okay? So we would identify the problem, and the person will say, well, my problem is my boss. Then I'll check and say, that's not the problem. Let's find something else. Mm-hmm. And then we get down to the deeper issues, because it's something internally. Or I feel insecure when I'm with my boss, which is two different things. So we check if that's a primary one. And we start working on the issue of the person feeling insecure in terms of them being with their boss. And then we take it further as to see what is linked to that insecurity with them being with the boss. And we find that we do a form of muscle checking to see what they resonate with it. And if they resonate with it, you'll get an on response. If they don't resonate with it, you'll get an off response. But you can also resonate with that on a conscious level and a subconscious level. Mm-hmm. And then you'll continue to follow a series of steps where you'll find out the whole pattern of the stuff that you need. And once you've got that, you can apply the right modality, which will shift the resonance. So of all the negative stuff that you're resonating with, which is on, and then you'll have the positive stuff that you don't resonate, which is off, which you need to switch back on. You then put in the correct modalities at the right time, click, you have a quantum shift, and that brings about a change where the stuff that you were resonating with then switches off. And the stuff that you weren't resonating with then switches on. Because the cells act like a magnet. What you resonate with, you attract. What you don't resonate with, you don't attract.
How much
I resonate with Jenny.
Obviously, you had better. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble. do you want to go?
No, you go.
How much of this is a spiritual process?
There is nothing that is not spiritual. There is nothing that does not contain spirit and that it is not energy. So it depends what you mean by the word spiritual.
Mm-hmm. How much? Because you mentioned they, you know, and I'm thinking, you said we, you know, so I'm thinking who's we? So are you, who are the we that we check with?
Oh, we check with. No, well, then obviously the person's guide will be there, mm-hmm. or their spiritual masters, whatever. And sometimes I see them, and sometimes the people feel them and see them in session as well, too. So I'm actually getting guidance.
Right. How often can one do this? This repatterning?
Well, I can't see you every week. Oh, the repatterning, okay. The repatterning is when you need it or when you feel that you actually need it.
Can we just have a moment of silence for Michael's funny bone?
Okay, the moment's gone.
So what is this book that you have here? There's a very colorful diagram in front. What is this?
Okay, that's a mandala, which is just a guideline, which will take me through the areas where I will identify a problem. I'll see if you need an intention for a new possibility. I will go through the repatternings that you need. I will then do the necessary modalities that you need and find out if you need a corrective action. So it's just a guideline for me, which will take me through the various processes of what each person needs.
Okay, so these beliefs, are they subconscious limiting beliefs?
Limiting. Well, so you've got beliefs, but it's not only beliefs, it's words, it's actions, and anything that has happened that you've seen, that you've experienced, all contain a frequency. And then they could form a pattern as such, and then they can negatively affect you. So yes, some of them can be limiting as such.
Now, Michael, once you've done the repatterning, the resonance repatterning, it's such a lovely word. It's such a...
sounds world's worst, resonance repatterning.
Yes, once you've done the resonance repatterning and you...
You see, you've changed already.
and, you know, you're kind of like balanced on a cellular level with that particular thing that you went, that you got healing for. What shifts in the person's behavior or mannerisms or doing a way
it
of doing things?
It depends what has come up in the session, and I would see the key things that would actually come up that we deal with in the repatterning, in all the beliefs or the early experiences where they had some traumas which needed to be diffused, or if there's something that had to be fused in, and then I could get an idea as to what would happen to the person and how it would shift. But at the end of the day, it's got nothing to do with me. I'm just the facilitator.
Mm-hmm. So you keep saying, but you're a very good facilitator, you know.
Thank you.
The way that you know. How often can one do repatterning?
As often as you want to, but the one would have to check that the previous one has integrated, because you would shift something over a period of time, and for some people it could be a month, it could be a week, it could be 2 months, and then I could check that the person is ready for the next session. Because once you've dealt with something and you go into a higher frequency in terms of your mind-body system, your subconscious will then release the next problem that you're ready to deal with.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying this method of healing raises your vibration?
This method will change the frequency where you remove the negative energy and whatever. It brings up a higher vibrational frequency, yes.
Have you had cases or clients where there was no integration and you had to do the same repatterning again?
No, that is not necessarily the same repatterning again, but there could be something underlying that where their mind-body system might not have enough energy in order to complete that now, and then you can do something in a week's time or shift something else for them to have a full shift. But
it's very confusing. It's very confusing.
All right, well, then I suggest that you come and have a session.
and then I have to report back on it.
No, there's no need to report.
No, but aren't you one of only two people who does this in the country?
There are about three or four, but there are two of us that are the most qualified. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time studying. It took me about 12 years to certify. I used to travel to America about three or four times a year in order to complete the studies and whatever. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if I go and I look for one, how would I choose a person who can do my resonance repatterning? Obviously, I know you now, so there's no other way. But, you know, if you go like, oh, I'm in Cape Town, I can't quite, yeah.
Well, there is a website which is www.resonancerepatterning.net, and you can find some practitioners on there. But there aren't too many in South Africa.
But you're one of the best. It's all right.
I wouldn't say one of the.
So modest. How did this journey start for you? How did you get into this resonance repatterning? I mean, I've never even heard of it, and here you are a master at it. Where did it start?
Okay, there are three questions. Which one do you want?
It's all the same thing. Tell me your story.
It's how did it start? When I was a child, I used to have visions. And I used to move in and out of my body, and I thought that was normal. But the big thing about the visions is I used to think I was dreaming, and I thought everyone had dreams, right? So I thought it was a dream. And what used to happen in my dream is I used to see something, and then over a period of time, I'd get a tingling sensation in my body, and that same thing would happen. So I said, oh, well, it's just a dream. Everyone dreams. And that took me quite a few years to actually realize until I was about 25 or 26. And then I started getting an interest in terms of the healing aspect and whatever. And I would just send people energy or love or whatever. And then people would say to me, I saw you in my bedroom last night.
Hmm. Freaky.
Well, I know I wasn't there because I know I was somewhere else. So I then started pursuing that, and just one thing led to another, and various modalities came together, and I studied various items, but then when I came to this resonance repatterning, it was the one that I found that brought about the best shifts and the most shifts for thousands of people that I know, including myself.
So this is a combination of many disciplines, is it?
Okay, we've got to get this into perspective.
Oh, is it?
The resonance repatterning itself is a process. Mm-hmm. It's quite a process. The different things that you're talking about is the modalities, like the essential oils, the tuning forks, the lights, the platonic solids, crystals, things like that. Those are the modalities that you bring in to bring about the quantum change. Mm-hmm. But the resonance repatterning itself is a process.
How do you know which modality to use on which client?
I check which is the right modality. One person might need one modality, one person might need four modalities. Then I check which is the four modalities they need, but then I check which is the correct sequence that those modalities have to go into the body. Right. And then I would put that sequence into their mind-body system, and then after that you go in and you check, and normally I use a red pen to mark where someone is resonating with something, and then we go back, and then you'll see, boop, it's gone off, and I use a black pen. So they could feel they were resonating with something, and then afterwards I show them with the red and the black pen, okay, can you see, you were there resonating, it was on, and now it's off, so you're no longer resonating with that. And then over a period of time, over the next few days after it's integrated, is people will start noticing shifts as such in terms of the session.
Do you do this resonance repatterning on yourself? You did.
I can do it on myself, but I prefer, or if I have to do it on myself, I would. But I prefer to have another facilitator do it.
So if I was listening now and I'd go, okay, I need something to shift almost immediately or very fast, then would this be something you would recommend?
I'd first see if you needed a clearing, and then I would see if you needed something else. But guess what? Say resonance repatterning doesn't come up, and your system says you need acupuncture. Mm-hmm. So fine, then I'll send you to an acupuncturist.
All right, you don't do acupuncture yourself.
I work on acupuncture points. I use light on acupuncture points. I use tuning forks. I use crystals or whatever, because those are all energy points. Those are minor chakras. So I work on acupuncture points and meridians, but I don't do acupuncture as such.
What's it like being in the corporate world and then working in the spiritual the spirit world? I mean, how do the two work for you?
Well, it's kind of walking between two universes as such, right? And but at the end of the day, everything is energy. And you've got to realize that people bring their stuff to the office as such. You can't say leave your problems at home. Mm. They do have that. So you can be aware that people have these problems and it is affecting them.
Does it make you a nicer boss?
I'm a very nice boss, thank you.
What did you expect? Of course he's going to say that.
And Jenny is shaking her head. No. Well, no, not shaking. She is agreeing very vigorously.
She has to. She's going home with him.
I hope so.
she could have been quiet. That's
that. Yeah. So, I mean, Liesl, you still wanted to ask Michael something about numbers. Is that still on the cards or can we go on with this?
How much time do we have?
We have 4 minutes left, and in the 4 minutes, I'd
love. No, you've got 3 minutes and 58 seconds.
I would love a tip on how to cleanse or clear yourself if you walk out.
Let's get Michael back some other time to talk about the numerology. Mm-hmm. You go, friend.
No, we just want to know how can you do your own cleansing or clearing on your body or at your house? Just
exactly the same as what I do on someone else. I check myself, I connect with everything, I see what's happening and I clear it.
No, if I'm at home and I want to clean my aura, how do I do it?
Oh, how do you do it? What, with me or without me?
No, if you're not there.
Without you.
You can only be in one place at a time, I'm assuming.
Oh, okay, this is a whole different...
No, don't go there, Tell people how they can do this by themselves.
Well, there's various modalities they can try. There's lots of people that might try an Epsom salt bath or have a salt bath, or they could do smudging, or they could use some form of modality.
Smudging?
Smudging is where you would burn some type of fragrance in the stick or whatever, and you'd have the smoke.
How do you decide which thing to burn?
If you're not sure, you just go to your nearest health shop and they will assist you, or go to the House of Isis or something like that. It could be sage, it could be whatever it is.
Okay. Is there a visualization that you do?
Well, it depends on the person. If they're putting out a visualization, if they're doing an intention, yes.
So I was wondering, you mentioned, first of all, that it starts with, or the way you started explaining it, is that you clear your body, you clean your body, you wash every day.
I gave you an example that you should be washing your body every day, therefore you should be cleaning other bodies, yeah.
So when I wash my body, I don't know about other people, I'm assuming, I put lotion on. Is there a spiritual lotion that you can put on your aura?
Well, there could be essential oils or there could be certain oils that would have an effect on your body, yes.
And when you, as Michael, see a client and you've cleared something, in other words, you've removed something from their aura, do you put something back?
Yes, what do you mean, do you put something back?
Do you put something back in the place of that thing that you've removed, something positive?
Oh, well, if you're talking about resonance repatterning, you could put a positive intention in, or you could put a positive belief in, or you could fuse in certain things that a person might need, yes, because the universe hates a gap as such. So if there's a gap in the energy there, so yes, you can fuse in stuff in terms of that, yes.
And how would you do that?
There's a whole process to that.
It's not just repeating some words and getting people to...
No, it's not a mantra. But, however, is some people might have mantras and that works for them and that creates an energy for them.
Well, Michael, as I said, we'll have to get you back because I have many more questions about the numerology, but we're out of time for now.
But if you bring numerology, I'd love to bring my teacher with me because she's brilliant.
This is so funny. I'm waving my pen at him as I speak, and then he takes his pen and he starts waving his pen back at me. Sorry, I talk with my hands.
Can we please give Michael's number now? Can we give your number? Is it possible, or can we give? Can we give just the email address? All right, we're going to give Michael's email address, and that would be Michael dot Gunko, G-U-N-K-O, at yahoo.com. As simple as that. Michael.gunko.
No, there's no as simple as that.
That's just, can we just go home? Thank you so much for being on with us, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
It was such a pleasure having you.
Nice meeting you.
Mm-hmm. And this was Beyond Ears and Eyes with me, Shemaine Harris.
And me, Liesl Tom. Saying goodbye.
Yes, saying goodbye. And Niles Chandradev, thank you so much for helping us.
This is CliffCentral.com.